Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable. We're discussing some of the top stories of the week. My guests are Jennifer Thomas, journalism professor at the Howard University School of Communications, Keith Harrison, reporter with the HBCU Times print magazine, and Hamil Harris, reporter with the Washington Informer. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can X me at H Fisher, W-H-U-R, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Let me go back to the phone lines. Ty, calling from D.C., thanks for hanging in there with us. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just called in about the CVS closing in Columbia Heights. I just left there. And, you know, the one thing I think that we're highlighting is the actions of the individuals who are stealing, mm-hmm. and I'm all for accountability, but we're also ignoring some of the environmental factors that are happening with our leadership. When Mayor Maren Barrier was in office, you know, there were a lot of youth summer programs and a lot of economic empowerment opportunities for people in this city, and a lot of that is gone now. And I found out that one of the crime statistics is over 60% of the violent crimes being committed in this city are by youth under 18. I think this is a serious, pervasive problem, and we really need to address it. Instead of just looking at the outcomes, let's get to the root of the issue.
Hamil, the lady makes a great point. As you know, the D.C. Summer Youth Employment Program opened on Monday. Great program, 45 years old now, but last year I think there were about 1,400 jobs. This year there are only 1,200 jobs. And some people may say, well, that's only 200 jobs, but that's 200 young people who will not have an opportunity to make some money and get some experience and be in a position that could very well change their life.
That's right. In fact, Keith knows this. You remember when I was a city hall reporter, there were thousands, like 20-some-odd thousand young people. All, where did they all go? I mean, and they had a corporate responsibility. Because I even remember when the Maren Barrier came up and said, how many people is Donald Graham hiring and stuff, you know, nobody was immune to this. And so now it's like we're talking about 1,200, just a small portion. So obviously there's an issue. But again, we seem like we're just still in the responding mode, the reaction mode, the street corner press conference mode, and not the preventative mode. And I don't know. And I'm out there. And I mean, I have students, I mean, with the high schools I've worked with and stuff. And people need money. And it's not happening.
Yeah.
You know, the caller has a point, and that is that this, like the D.C. crime bill getting lots of applause from residents, et cetera. But we should have learned our lesson before from the 90s. You can't get your way out of a crime problem by locking more people up. That doesn't address the underlying causes, what's making teenagers, as the caller pointed out, people, kids younger than 18, do this. What other opportunities are available for them in the city? And the city's response largely has been, we're going to toughen crime. We're going to make, you know, we're going to increase jail sentences for these kinds of things. That is, as Hamil just described, that's sort of like reacting. That's not really getting at the root cause of the problem, which is not an easy thing to solve either.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that, too, was because the mayor and the city was getting a lot of pushback from the federal government, too, when with the spike in crime, saying you're going to have to do something. Yeah. So, you know, it's like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. But, yeah, I agree with the caller. We do have to find better solutions, but then we also have to address where we are. And see, you know, how do you solve the problem now? And then how do you prevent it from going forward? And then what are the solutions for that vacuum that's being left in the community?
Yeah. Ty, thank you so much. Are you running for office in the district anytime? You need to let us know, right?
Maybe one of these days, but I'll definitely call you. And I'm a Howard alum, so.
Well, there you go. See, there he goes. That explains it all.
That's right, Bison.
All right, well, look, stay safe out in those streets, Ty. Thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Frank calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Frank. What's on your mind?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Hello?
Go right ahead, Frank.
Okay. Okay, can you hear me now?
I most certainly can. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I have to agree with the Howard alum who just called in, and she talked about the root of the problem. And I can remember being one of those kids in the SYEP program years ago when Marion Barry was mayor. And even then, the ground was different. There were more families. There were more. There's more men in the home. We don't have that now. And it's not that women can't say, "Oh, I can do this." But it's just that you were not designed. No one was designed to just to do this by themselves, to raise children by themselves. Neither men nor women. And we've broken that down. And as a result, that's why CVS is closing. That's why you have this rampant, this craziness that goes on in the schools. People rushing into stores and just ripping things off. And then the other part is that, you know, the city, yes, the city can do things like have more of the SYEP program, more jobs. But we have to go back to the root, and the foundation is the family. We've changed the definition. We said it's not really that important. And as a result, we are now reaping our consequence of that decision that we've made. So I'm not saying that, you know, he said, well, we got to do something now. We can. I said, listen, we need to talk to our young people and tell them it's okay to do these things, to wait and not just to run out and just run amok, whether it's having children out of, you know, wedlock, whether it's, you know, going into stores and ripping things off. We have to have structure. We have lost our structure. And that's what I feel, because years ago, it was a lot different. Now, we're just reaping the benefits of changing. That's all.
Mm.
That's how I see it.
Frank, thank you so much. Jennifer, you're just chomping at the bit to say something. I could feel the heat. I agree with a lot of what
all the callers are saying. And, you know, you look at a lot of problems, but I kind of go back to what Keith said. A lot of times, you know, sometimes I may say it jokingly, but I'm serious. I blame social media for a lot of these ills and issues that we're having now, because, you know, back in the day, and I can say it, we're all around the same age group in this room, a little here or there.
And some of us more here than more there.
Right. But we did not have, you know, I say that to my students here at Howard all the time. We didn't have a phone that we wake up to, you know, every moment of the day and learn, you know, from watching things and watching videos, how to do things and how to commit crimes and how to just do things that we shouldn't do. We're not using it to learn and to read and to, you know, read books online. We're getting into all kinds of things because, to the caller's point, we are not doing anything at home. We're not in a program, in a community program. We're not doing things after school because what? Because they've cut out a lot of after school programs for students. So what are the kids supposed to do? So it's a cyclical problem. And we're reaping the benefits, I think, of the past 10 years or 20 years where kids have so much access to social media that they're not socializing and they're not learning socialization in ways that we did when we were kids. They don't go out and play until the lights come on.
Yeah, and I would definitely say there are no benefits that we're reaping. We're reaping the consequences, certainly, of the modern era of social media and the like. And you said you blame social media, but remember, and I think we all do, just last month in Prince George's County when they had that student town hall at Flowers High School, the students blame social media.
So we all know.
Yeah.
But somebody has to be the grown-up and real. How can you have a Jennifer Thomas who missed Howard University in 1987, and her father was a minister, she went to BBS, she went to Sunday school, she managed to do well. And again, what happened to this generation where I was in the media academy somewhere, you know, at a high school, and everybody uses their cell phone to film the latest fight. It's like the fightnetwork.com across the country, and everybody's running to get the shot. It is not for media, it's for foolishness.
Yeah.
I know I'm trying not to preach tonight, but I'm just telling you. Well, how long? Like, you know.
Go ahead.
How long, you know?
Go ahead, Hamil, go ahead and give me a ha, because. go ahead, Keith.
You know, it's a confluence of issues that we're dealing with, because what's happening in D.C. with young people in crime is not unique. It's happening mm-hmm. across the country, mm-hmm. certainly happening in Prince George's County. And social media does have a lot to do, because in a lot of instances, prosecutors and law enforcement are finding is that the people who are committing these crimes are putting that stuff on social media. They're posting stuff on social media with them, with the goods that they've stolen, or with the stolen car. And you know, I sound like, you know, and get off my lawn kind of person to say, well, it's social media's problem. Well, you know, you can have social media in a household with young people, but somebody, as Camille said, has to be the grown up. Mm-hmm. And say, okay, you know what? 12 hours a day on social media is a little bit too much. Let's cut it down to an hour after school and an hour if you finish your homework. And it has to be those kinds of rules. And when there aren't rules, and that's what a lot of the kids who are getting arrested are saying, well, you know, I'm carjacking because I know nothing's going to happen to me.
Yeah. And just to think, there was a time when we thought TV was bad.
Jennifer does this and Keith does it too. We have the media quiz. I asked, what was the big story of the week? And this is not high school students. These were students in college, and not here, but other places. And I asked the question. Everybody said, Martin Luther King Jr. Correct, wrong. No, Jr. died in 68. Dexter King died just with prostate cancer. And they looked at me kind of like, oh, it wasn't Martin Luther King Jr.? No, that's the wrong week. It is, and these are people that passed the SAT test that should know history. So while social media is filling up the vacuum, there's a vacuum of good things and things that we need to know in terms of history.
Yeah. I would say, and I'm going to go back to the phone lines in a bit because we have some folks who are chomping at the bit to talk. I would say, and I was really touched when watching the press conference on Monday about the DC Summer Youth Employment Program. This is not a plug, should be, but it's not, about the Young Docs program, because before it expanded to what it is now and doing what it's doing at Howard University Hospital, they were working out of the Ark on Mississippi Avenue. Yeah. The founder and executive director, he had been on this program, full transparency. Back then, I had actually, made a little donation to them, because it wasn't just what they were teaching these young people about, CPR, but it was having them have on those white coats and the self-esteem and the pride that those young people felt. And that is something that is truly priceless. Some of the guys that I met, they come from some of the most difficult communities in D.C. But to give them an opportunity to see down a road that said, I could be a doctor, I could save lives, which means I could head down a road, which means I will not take lives. And I just think that it is a wonderful program. I certainly hope that they continue to be successful. Let me go back to the phone line, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stacy, calling from Hyattsville. Thanks for calling, Stacy. What's on your mind? Stacy, are you there? One more time for Stacy. Stacy, give me a call back if you can. Let's go to Stan, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Stan. What's on your mind?
I couldn't live down the road. Yeah, so I was calling in reference to the stealing out the stores and all.
Go right ahead.
What they got to understand is that with these cell phones and teaching them everything, all they're doing is having these kids, all of them meet at the same store and go in there and bum rush the store and take everything out of the store like it's something planned. It ain't nothing planned. The kids just know how to use the cell phones, and they generate information off of that, and that's how they act. There's no guidance in the home. The grandparents are out gambling at the casino. So, I mean, you know, we got some rough times in here, and nobody wants to sit down and talk to the kids.
Yeah.
They're scared of them.
You do make a very, very good point. Thank you, Stan. I appreciate your phone call.
It's not just the grandmothers, though. It's people who drive through there every day and run like to get through there. I mean, you see the young people. They used to call it the broken window theory. When you see a busted window, people feel, well, they don't care about our neighborhood, so why should we care?
Right.
It's like we're going backwards. It's not just, you know, the little old people who try so hard, you know?
Yeah. I want to move on to the next topic, just to lighten the load, just a little bit. Here's, I think, this is the question of the day. Can Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson save us from a Taylor Swift Super Bowl? I don't know.
That's right.
Look, today we heard from Roquan Smith. He's a linebacker for the Ravens, and this is what he had to say.
If something is in your way and you've been dreaming for something your entire life, busting your tail day in and day out for something, and are you going to allow something to stop you? You're going to give everything in your human power to make sure that that's not the case. And that's how we look at it. And I know we're going to play that way every given play. So tune in Sunday. Get your popcorn ready.
Get your popcorn ready. But okay, but here's my question. And I'll start with you, Jennifer. Are Washingtonians excited about the Ravens? Since we don't have a team yet to be excited about. So
We should. I mean, you know, they're our cousins, if you look at it like that. You know, they're our cousins around the corner. You win, we all win. You know, we should. Hey, you know, we know that Baltimore and the surrounding areas, many people in the DMV are close to Baltimore, Baltimore County. We're right over there.
I live in Baltimore.
Well, so, there you go. Yeah. And, you know, Baltimore, as you know, they're very excited. Could they pull off this win? I think it's a good time, and it's a good time for football. It's a good time for fans, and it's a good uniting thing, I think, for the entire region. I really do.
Keith?
Yeah, I'm so happy. You know what? I'll take Lyft back, you know, from Oregon, and I had a lady limousine driver. She picked me up. I was so happy. I fell asleep in that place. And she said, we're gonna get down for the weekend and everything. I'm trying to get up here with my crutch. You know what I'm saying? But guess what? Thank God we can. And look at Detroit. My grandfather was from Detroit. You know. And I'm just glad these cities that have been besieged by crime and crazy stuff can have a little moment to be happy. But I'm going to tell you, Kansas City not playing, you know.
I mean,
he ready.
Yeah, that's true. Keith, what do you think?
D.C. native, who moved to Prince George's County. I'll say this. I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. And for no other reason now, because they have Lamar Jackson, that's who it. Is a terrific story. I mean, just think about what happened to him in the past year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he pushed aside, I don't need an agent. I'm going to renegotiate my own $250, $260 million contract with help from my mother, right? Just from my mother. The NFL essentially blackballed him because they didn't want him to get any offers from other teams. All the teams that need quarterbacks in the NFL, no one tried to sign him. He was a free agent. And then to top it all off, after their victory over Houston this past weekend, Lisa Salter is a sister, who a sideline reporter for, I think, Fox, or Fox. Maybe it was NBC. Fox. She's interviewing him after the game. She's a little bit older than he is. And then she interviews him, and at the end of it, he says, "I appreciate you, Miss Lisa." Well raised on top of everything.
There you go. Yes, love yes. It. And you know, can they do this? It's been what, 20 years? 2013 was the last time they won a Super Bowl. So it would be a big deal for Baltimore if they can get to that place. You know,
Yeah.
Has it been? Oh, 2013,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, 10 years. Sorry, 2010 years.
Yeah, but that's, but I agree. And look, And I'm a Commanders fan, grew up with the Washington team. My grandfather was a Washington fan. My daddy was a Washington fan. My mother, my stepmother, you know, can I tell you about Billy Kilmer, Sonny Jurgensen, Larry Brown, and Charlie Taylor? Oh my goodness, I think I was still on Similac if they had it back then. But the bottom line is that, and as a person who lives in Baltimore City, they are an incredible. They're just so excited. Full transparency. I was texting my former co-anchor in Buffalo, New York, and I said, it looks like the ghost of Jim Kelly was still haunting that city. They can't get it right to save their lives. Buffalo lost again.
Shy that field goal.
Oh gosh, it was so unfortunate.
Crazy boys, you know the little kids that out there scrubbing that with that dirty right. water, clean your water up now. Tell them to get ready. Don't put that squeegee boy stuff on the good limousine. But we need that, you know.
Yes.
There's been enough bad news. And again, I said everybody that looked like a reporter up at Morgan to go down there and just start taking pictures.
How about that? But you know that there were so many great stories coming up this weekend. I joke about the whole Taylor Swift thing, but it is a thing.
It's a huge thing.
It's a thing. There's no question about it. Detroit.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, you know, another blue collar city. I mean, you know, folks crying when they when they made it this far. Purdy, the quarterback for San Francisco. He showed up and showed out, but you know I always just wonder, with all of these other quarterbacks falling by the wayside during the course of this season, you know Colin Kaepernick is still young.
And there you go, and able.
Yes. Real quick, I do want to get to this last topic before we run out of time. Vice President Kamala Harris, along with President Biden, really made their kind of first official campaign stop yesterday. Of course, that kind of overshadowed by the Trump win and Trump-Haley fight in New Hampshire. But this is what the president said yesterday in Northern Virginia at the rally.
A person who doesn't have a clue about the power of women in America. It's Donald Trump. Well, I promise you in 2024, he's going to find out about the power of y'all. We need the protection of Roe v. Wade in every state. And we can do it. You can do it. Together we can do it. It's within your power to do it.
So I'm going to have, again, start with Jennifer, and she's going to be the spokesperson for every American woman on. How important do you believe this Roe v. Wade abortion issue, how important do you think it is for the campaign and for the American people? They seem to be dwelling on it quite a bit, and there are some other issues that they're just not talking about.
Well, to your point, I think this issue over reproductive rights is a huge one. And we've seen, even as they were doing exit polls and talking to people in New Hampshire, a lot of the registered Republicans were going off party because of this issue. You hear the stories. I think it was the Texas doctor now who did a campaign for the an ad for the Biden campaign after she had to leave state and get an abortion to save her life when she knew the child she was carrying was no longer living. You know, this is something that touches women across the party aisle. And I think we are going to see that it is going to be a major issue. Now, we know the Republicans are looking at immigration. And if you listen to Donald Trump, you know, they're coming by the droves, by the thousands and millions, taking over the world as we know it. But I do think that this issue, we know what happened after Roe v. Wade. After that decision by the Supreme Court, we saw the reaction. We're still getting reaction on that anniversary. It was just this week. And I think it is going to be a big issue. I will say, though, speaking of the vice president, Mysore from Howard University, I'll have to say that. But I will say that I am glad that the vice president has her on this issue and not on immigration like he did when, you know, they first came in office. Like, she could solve that issue, you know, by herself at the beginning of their administration. But I do think it is going to be one of the key issues. We know that, you know, when it comes to the economy and health care, you know, the economy is doing well. But what is that one issue that people are going to resonate with? I think that is one of them.
Keith?
Yeah, I think that is the issue, reproductive rights. It's there. It's got to be their top issue. It worked for the Democrats in the midterms after Roe v. Wade was overturned, and it will work again. They all know it, and they're clear, and that's why they started, launched their campaign essentially with that issue. But there are other issues, because they've got to bring that coalition back together and get them out. And in my view, it's two things that are connected. It's voting rights, and that's connected to the question of, do you really want to give Donald Trump four more years to fill the federal judiciary and the U.S. Supreme Court if any vacancies come up? Because those are, that's connected to voting rights issues. And so I would expect at some point to hear Biden and the vice president both talking about those issues as well.
What about you, Hamil?
Well, first of all, he has to deal with Nikki Haley. And Nikki Haley said that she's not...
Who has to deal with Nikki Haley? Who has to deal with Nikki Haley?
Donald Trump has to deal with Nikki Haley. And I watch this thing like a clock, and I know what I'm talking about. You watch this. And Haley is not doing the, I'm going to bow out and let him go, you know, get coronated or whatever. She's doing whatever. And I think women are starting to think about this thing in the greater, you know, they're thinking about Roe versus Wade, thinking about other things, thinking about all the stuff how Trump brags about things. So he was so confused. He didn't know it was Haley or Nancy Pelosi. So, you know, it's clear that Mr. Trump has a little more on his hands than he thought he would.
But the thing that I was asking was whether or not the Biden campaign should not expand its argument as it begins to march towards November beyond abortion rights, reproductive rights.
Yes, in fact, they need to reignite the church, the African-American church. They need to get out there. This is not some little easy-beasy thing he has to deal with. And again, you miss people like Reverend Jackson and people who are out there and in your face and stuff. And so, again, yes, they need to do all of the above.
I think that the economy, you know, right now we're doing better than we have in many years. And even America, I think the latest poll showed how Americans are becoming more satisfied and more hopeful. We need to pull on those things. I think if they want to be effective, the Democrats need to point that out, that the economy is getting better, and then do a comparative analysis to how it was during the first during Trump's administration, how poor the economy was doing. You know, people were fighting over toilet paper.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's another issue. There are many, and we have to get people have to be told their importance of the vote. And I think back to Taylor Swift and the Swifties and the women, I think she's very powerful. Beyonce's very powerful. And all these artists at galvanizing young people to vote. And in fact, a lot of right wingers are coming out against Taylor Swift for doing just that.
And as I've often said, you know, over the years, holy cow, look at the Dow. Have you seen the Dow Jones Industrial Average? Have you seen the, you know, the S&P? Yes, it's safe to look at your 401ks again. Mm-hmm. And I think that the economic message is critically important, but you've got to give people something to really be excited about right now. And I do think that reproductive rights is one leg of the stool. But if you're not talking about the economy, if you're not talking about the infrastructure bill, because that money's starting to trickle down now to the states and to the cities, and women care about more than just reproductive
and
rights.
And education. I mean, there are a lot of things that we can point at to see, you know, what I think an effective tool would be for the Democrats to show what a Biden campaign can do versus what will happen if he is not in office. And I think people have had a little bit of amnesia because Trump is not, he's been quiet. He hasn't been attending these debates. And so people forget that, and they see him there, you know, they're laughing at his jokes. But when he's there long enough, and to what Hamil said, when Nikki Haley continues to poke the bear, and they start hearing that dangerous rhetoric, people may be reminded and maybe second guessing those who might vote for him that, you know, do we want this leader leading the free world when, you know, there may be some serious things that we may be facing around the world? Do people want Donald Trump being the commander in chief at the red phone with the button?
Well, obviously, there are some people who do.
Apparently so.
Well, go ahead, real quick, Hamil, last comment.
I am so proud of the Howard University students who covered the last election and Professor Thomas and stuff. And, I mean, they were all in Atlanta, everywhere. So, you know what? I know that I got two hearts, and one of them's in D.C., and one of them's somewhere else. But I love my Howard family, and I know those students will be on top of it.
Yes, they will.
Keith, do you have a last thought?
I'm going to stick to this thing. I know, yes, there are definitely more issues, but reproductive rights.
There you go.
That's got to be at the forefront of the Biden campaign.
Okay. Well, there you go. Jennifer Thomas, Keith Harrison, Hamil Harris, thank you so much for talking to us. I really,
love
really
you,
appreciate it.
Always
absolutely
a pleasure.
Well, finally tonight, I am scratching my head a bit about what's going on with some of our school systems in the area. The Montgomery County Inspector General report said the Montgomery County Public Schools had all kinds of shortcomings in investigating accusations of employee misconduct, and that it's been going on for years. 9 students from one high school in Loudoun County last year experienced non-fatal fentanyl overdoses back in October, but parents weren't notified for nearly 3 weeks. Nearly 3 weeks. To date, we still don't know why it took so long to tell them. Yes, school systems are not perfect. There's always the temptation to protect their image, but ignoring or hiding serious problems erodes trust of the families and the students they serve. So maybe, just maybe, the titles on the reports of these recent school problems should be "Just Tell the Truth and Shame the Devil." That's the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, January 24th, 2024. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.